And let me welcome and thank you for putting up with me today. It's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh. And last hour, I was just sharing how Rush's observations on life changed and guided my life. So when I tell you that it's an honor to fill in, understand that I am like you. I am a listener to the program. I have been for all of my adult life. So I want you to just think of what a thrill it would be and an honor it is to be on this program. So thank you for that. It's 800-282-2882 if you want to join us. The biggest victory, 2019, in, I think, the history of conservative media, was a guy named Rush Limbaugh, who said at the very beginning of the Rush investigation, this will prove to be a hoax. From end to end, from top to bottom, nothing is going to come from this. And for an entire year or more, almost 2 years, maybe 3 years, Rush spoke about his steadfast belief and knowledge that nothing would come from the Russia investigation. And people were so bowled over by the volume of media attention to this and by the smoke that they put up. And there's gotta be fire. People were so bowled over because every day there's this Brennan on TV. Every day you have Brennan, you got Wolf Blitzer, you've got these other people. Every day on TV, they're up in arms in this. You had Rachel Maddow on, I forget the name of that network. Are they still doing that? Did they move that to podcast only? Rachel Maddow's show? Is that still on? Oh, okay. So, really? So, you even have Eric Wemple, who is the media columnist at the Washington Post, saying about now Rachel Maddow, how come she's not treated like other conspiracy theorists? Because that's what, she's still peddling this stuff. She's still peddling the Steele dossier. So, at the very beginning of all of this, Rush said, trust him, mark his words, it's going to be a hoax, nothing's going to come of it. And you look back at 2019, you look at all the efforts to connect this. And I turn to Glenn Greenwald. If there's an opposite of Rush, it's Greenwald. So he created a site called The Intercept. He wrote a lot about intelligence gathering, etc. He is, my understanding of Glenn is, I don't know him, my understanding of him is he's a fairly leftist guy. Who decided to go out and, God bless him, on his own, go start a business, The Intercept, where he writes a lot about intelligence and the intelligence services. Glenn Greenwald has just done an incredible job of tracking some of the hoax-related panic devices that came out during this period. At the same time as you had a Rush on top of things, obviously the Uber message, the greatest history, I think, in conservative media, our greatest victory in conservative media, is Rush saying from the beginning, it's a hoax. That's been proven. Rush has been proven to be more trustworthy than the mainstream media on that topic. It's an absolute fact. So Glenn Greenwald went through some of the lesser known hoaxes or mini hoaxes within the major hoax. And he calls out he goes through a 10 item list. I went to the bottom ones and then got number one. This is Greenwald. Do you remember when Russian hackers invaded the United States electricity grid to deny Vermonters heat during the winter? He writes, December 30, 2016, Washington Post reported Russian hackers penetrated the U.S. electricity grid through a utility in Vermont, causing a predictable outrage and panic. Glenn Greenwald writes, the problem, he says, is it had nothing to do with Russia. It was malware. But so spun up was the media complex on this that they turned to something like that. It's malware. And they said, this is Russia. This is like when you would go into a Starbucks and they didn't have cream and for your coffee. It would be clearly, this is Russia. Right? Everything was Russia. You get a parking, it's a Russian parking ticket. So remember at the beginning of all of this, Rush said, nope, it's a hoax. Another thing Greenwald points to. There was this is November 24th, 2016, the Washington Post, 3 years ago, published a piece claiming that there were more than 200 websites, routine peddlers of Russian propaganda, pushing out the election to viewed more than 213 million times, pushing out Russian propaganda. Problem, as Greenwald points out, this was a report invented by an anonymous group that had absolutely no credibility or believability, and all this turned out to be false. But so spun up was the media. Every device, every channel, save maybe one, was so spun up on this story, so much of the national media, be it in print, be it in some of the radio, top of the hour radio stuff, so spun up on this. And Rush stayed steadfast. It's a hoax. And I don't know if you're like me. When you would tune into Rush and you would hear him assure us, this is a hoax. It's not going to matter. None of this is going to affect anything. They are making this up. And then when Rush started to tell us where it was coming from, right? And now we're looking at a, you know, criminal investigation, etc. 2019 is the greatest victory, I think, for conservative media. And it makes sense that that would have been by Rush. Then you get this. The number one, and this is Glenn Greenwald. Again, not in any way a conservative guy. I'm probably far from it. He points to his number one media fail was that Donald Trump Jr. was offered advanced access to the WikiLeaks email archive. The morning of December 9th, writes Glenn Greenwald, 2017, launched one of the most humiliating spectacles in the history of U.S. media. With a tone so grave and bombastic that it's impossible to overstate, CNN went on the air and announced a major exclusive. Donald Trump Jr. was offered by email advanced access to the trove of DNC and Podesta emails published by WikiLeaks, meaning before those emails were made public. Within an hour, MSNBC's, so they do exist. So they're there. Okay, I thought it was podcast only. MSNBC's Ken Dilanian, using a tone somehow even more unhinged, purported to have independently confirmed this mammoth blockbuster scoop, which they said would have been the smoking gun showing collusion between Trump and WikiLeaks. Not true. It never happened. So go back to the beginning. Go back to 3 years ago. Go back and realize that this victory is so monumental, that sticking to this gun is so monumental. And I will make this backward-looking prediction. Had this been another Republican, someone on his team, I guarantee someone on his team would have been saying, look, there might be nothing to this, but we've got to start sacrificing people. There might be nothing to this, but we've got to make some, we've got to have some people moved out. We got to say we found the person who was working there. We got to do this. We got to make peace. We need to go out and say, oh, well, maybe we were wrong to do this, or maybe I shouldn't have made the joke about WikiLeaks. And that was wrong. And they would have been then in this crouch and cover mode. And I'm sure in the White House, it was absolutely terribly frustrating and anger inducing to see this stuff every single day. And this should give you hope as regards to impeachment. During the break, Bo Snerdly sent me a note saying, look, isn't it the case that if these articles of impeachment that the House has passed, if there was a new Senate, they wouldn't be seated until January. So wouldn't the old legislation be dead? Wouldn't the House have to repass it? I'd asked a couple of professors about this, and they said that's unclear. Bo knows what he's talking about. So in that case, would they repass it if they kept the House? Yes, the Democrats would do that. If they took the Senate, would they then convict President Trump? Yes, but they'd be doing this with the full knowledge that America saw the Russia hoax. They'd be doing it with full knowledge that people understood there was nothing there, with full knowledge that the media has never apologized for this. Ever. Looking back, 2019, looking at the predictions that Russia's made consistently in his career, one of the things he said is it's never enough that it was, remember when it was safe and rare? Abortions were safe and rare, and Russia told us forever, this is going to expand as the Democrats get in power, as Planned Parenthood needs more revenues, as they need to amp up their activists. Planned Parenthood's going to ask for more and more and more. So you get out of the state of Virginia. You got this law that Governor Northam signed, introduced by Kathy Tran this past year, that allows a so-called doctor to kill a baby who's in the process of coming into the world. Russia's told us about these things and how they're going to expand and how they're going to become more and more in your face. He's told us these things, and we're winning because young people are rejecting abortion. Young people are rejecting it because of groups like Live Action and Lila Rose, because of this program. We're winning on that front. Things like that in Virginia can only add to the win. And this, so many times, Rush has told us, don't despair. So many times he's told us, we're still the great nation of invention and innovation. And in fact, we're very near, if not already at, being a net energy exporter. We're very near a point where everything in our country is more sustainable. We're very near a point where we've reduced our carbon output. If you care about such things, I do not believe that there's any form of carbon catastrophe at all. I think it's all made up. If you believe in that, understand that we've reduced the carbon output by innovation, that we continue to be the country that innovates. These are the things that Russia's told us throughout this year, throughout this decade, as we look back on 2019, as we roll forward in the program. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on this last day of 2019 on the EIB Network, 800-282-2882 if you want to join the program. Coming up, I want to talk about some of the battles behind the battles, things that I think that we have to understand. We're going to have to fight really hard to maintain some liberties and, in fact, even to maintain our actual morality. As the left continues to march, and we must be animated for 2020. Speaking of 2020, Henry from Tampa, Florida, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Welcome, Henry. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Welcome, Todd. Listen, on this election and the impeachment, even if the Democrats take over the Senate with, say, let's say 55 seats, they would still need 12 Republicans to vote to remove the president.
Yep.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, neither do I. I mean, it's an interesting thought experiment to see, and we were talking about this earlier, Henry, because someone had said, could Pelosi hold the articles of impeachment? And I had talked to a couple professors who said, that's unclear. And then Bo Snerdly sent me a note saying, well, I think they'd have to re-vote on that. It's an interesting thought experiment, but let me ask you this. Do you think that that if they could get to 67, do you think Pelosi would even care if it was legal or not to throw those articles of impeachment over to the Senate? Do you think she'd stop for a single second?
Well, she hadn't cared to doing it right up to this time, so no, I don't think she cared.
No, that's exactly right. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you, Henry. Thanks for coming on the program. Okay, I got to set this up. We had a call sort of end of last hour. A gentleman called who said, hey, I'm an atheist conservative Republican. And his point was, why aren't you reaching out to atheists? I think you could grow the party if you reached out to us. And its sort of criticism was, it feels like a lot of the talk, perhaps this is my fault, that too much faith has been strung through this, that it might be off-putting. So we pointed out to him, there he was, an atheist on the world's largest radio show, having it airing. And in fact, of course, he's part of the team, right? We don't have to agree on everything. We agree on, in this case, politics. So Laura from Venice, California, want to respond to that. Laura is on the Rush Limbaugh program. Hi, Laura. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Hey, Todd. Thanks. Yeah, the last atheist caller, I think, is just indicative of the ignorance of America's founding. You know, he and all Americans, all of us, every day benefit from the Judeo-Christian founding and the infrastructure we have in America, which is why everyone wants to come here. And I have to say, I have a doctorate degree, and I bought the Rush Revere set of books. And you know how he talks about having a massively informed public, but it also is on our founding. I did not know so much what was in those books. And there's a Bible quote, my people perish through lack of knowledge. And I just think that that happens because America is the greatest country, but a lot of people don't realize that our exceptional values are that we weren't founded by a warlord or a king or a czar or a dictator who do not want their people informed, right? And the other thing that the atheists do is, if they're religion neutral, why do they almost seem a little anti-God and anti-Bible? And we have our sacredness of human life in our country. We have our property laws, freedom of speech, meritocracy, equality. America and Israel have these because of our founding. And you were just talking about the moral, you know, the abortion thing. John Adams said we can't keep our republic if we lose the morals and manners of women. And
right.
Look at what's happening with women in our country.
And he'd said that, you know, it was, I think, Benjamin Franklin who said, we have a republic if we can keep it. And it's our system of governance is designed for a moral and educated people. That our founders spoke of that at length. And Laura, I want to thank you for the call. You raised a great point. And in terms of this infrastructure, I think you're talking about an intellectual infrastructure. In an underpinning of America in this great experiment. And the great experiment is so misunderstood, as is American exceptionalism, so completely misunderstood. I think that the president of the United States understands this experiment. Here's the experiment. Can we be a nation of citizens, not subjects? Can we be a nation that is governed at the consent of the governed? Can we maintain a nation upon those principles? And yes, atheists are welcome into the conservative movement, welcomed into the Republican Party, with an understanding that you are allowed to be an atheist in a country because of the underpinnings of freedom created by people who were either deists or Christian, right? It had a respect for religion, most of them themselves religious people to very differing degrees. But that intellectual structure, that intellectual infrastructure that we have, contains this idea that is inseparable from who we are. That is that it is God that gave us the right to speak our mind. Your most valuable possession is not your home. It is not your 401k. It is your conscience. It is what defines you at a level beyond the soul, below the soul, but at a very important level, right? The founders had respect for that. They had respect for the things that we have as rights because we come from God. God wants us to be able to defend ourselves, for instance. This is where respect for humanity ends in the model of the Judeo-Christian model. Respect for the human being, right, really plays into this infrastructure. And yes, then we respect the atheist choice to be atheist. And yes, welcomed into the conservative movement. Thanks for the call, Laura. Mike from Ocala, Florida. You are on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Mike.
How you doing? I think that the House is trying to become more parliamentarian. They're trying to get the West Coast and the East Coast to gain more power. And based on what's been done to Johnson and based what's been done to Netanyahu, and then them using impeachment as a tool, I think they're going to try to be more parliamentarian. They're trying to give the House more power than the executive branch.
Yeah, they're trying to create an illusion, and this is the other illusion that they're trying to create. I like what you're saying. Mike, is it there now? Nancy Pelosi is saying to the Senate, I'll agree to pass these articles of impeachment on once I determine that we're going to get a fair hearing. And she just completely topples who's supposed to get the fair hearing. The accused is supposed to get the fair hearing. Secondly, she has no sway over the Senate. She has absolutely no constitutional prerogative to try to exact sway over the Senate. So I concur with you that they're trying to expand their power, but that's what they do, right? That's exactly their modus operandi. Thank you for the call, Mike. That's exactly the modus operandi, that they continue to expand the power, sometimes at real obvious clips, sometimes incrementally. We come back on the Rush Limbaugh program. I want to get more of your calls at 800-282, plus some of the battles that I don't think most people are aware of, such as medical totalitarianism that comes with Medicaid for all, such as the disease, that the literal disease that is the West Coast that's going to spread. So some battles to come in 2020. Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. What an honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh on the last day of 2019. So Rush sits at the cutting edge of societal evolution. And because I live on the West Coast, I am surrounded by a society that's devolving. But that provides me one advantage, which is to be able to warn you all who don't live on the West Coast, things that are coming your way. In 2020 and on, there's some battles that we're going to have to fight and some things that are just not talked about enough. First thing is this Medicaid for all is so misunderstood by establishment Republicans. Obviously, Rush gets this. Other people get this. But the establishment Republicans think it's just a medical takeover. It's just their attempt to gain more power. It doesn't stop there. It's a form of totalitarianism. It truly is. Let me give you an example. There's an article in Vice.com that says that Medicaid should cover what they call gender treatments for trans youth in every state. Okay. This is built upon two core lies. They call it a life-saving treatment to give kids 200 times the amount of cross-sex hormones that would ever appear in their body, to operate on them in ways that are profoundly damaging to the body, that gets you so that you need to have follow-up surgeries for the rest of your life. This, in light of the fact that 85 to 95% of kids who at one time or another experience gender dysphoria or gender confusion, etc., overcome this. They are pushing this so hard on people that they want Medicaid to cover it. They say it's life-saving, but the data on that is absolutely the reverse. It's not life-saving. They want your kids, your grandkids, to have the choice at the age of three to decide to be a boy or a girl, and they want you to be moved out of the way, right? They want kids to have access to this as their minds are still developing, and Medicaid for All can get them there. This is an example of a battle we have to fight, because Planned Parenthood, they're handing out cross-sex hormones. They're just handing them out. We know about Planned Parenthood. We know their tie-in to lobbyists, etc. We know about Big Pharma's tie-in to lobbyists, etc. This is a battle that's coming your way. 2020 matters. Are you animated? Let me give you another example. This is something that is now endemic to West Coast cities, that there's a new pricing scheme for your personal mobility. Okay, you will wake up, turn on your car. You're going to be driving to work. They're going to find the financial pain that makes it impossible for you to pay to drive to work. So we know that the East Coast, D.C. corridor, you've seen the $47 tolls to get into D.C. So you're almost $100 to go back and forth from work. That's just for a stretch of road. What they're experimenting with out here is a GPS unit in your car that will charge you from the moment you hit a public street until you get to where you're going. They will decide. They may say to you, I'm sorry, you can't take the 405 or you can't take the Beltway today unless you're willing to pay $200. So they will control the direction you take to work. The technology for this is already in a lot of new vehicles, so they won't even need to force a GPS unit into your car. They will also be able to automatically fine you. Oh, we've determined that you were aggressively braking in your car, or that you made too sharp of a turn. Now, they won't know the details. They don't know that you stopped to avoid hitting someone who had run in your way. They don't know that you took a sharp turn because maybe someone else had a problem on the road. You're getting around some, you know, bicycle extremist. They won't know that. But they'll automatically fine you. Then, oh, don't worry. You can go to court and ask for your money back if you're willing to stand in line and pay the $100 to drive there. This stuff is coming. So winning in 2020 matters, because they want to export this to you. The other thing that's coming is a theory that unfortunately the Supreme Court is going to let stand, which is that you cannot. It's they're making it very hard for cities like San Francisco. And you, if you live in San Francisco, God help you. I used to live down there. Used to be a beautiful city, making it very, very hard for you to help people who are homeless and drug addicted and mentally ill. Very difficult to have them put in treatment against their will, and impossible to clear them off the streets. This stuff is going to be exported. These are some of the fights you face in this country that we face together. But let me remind you that the media has done everything they can to destroy President Trump. They've lost. They did everything they could on the Russia hoax. They lost. We are still winning. I hope you remember that with 2019. Been a discussion on the show today. A couple of an atheist called us to say, I wish you would back off the religion and maybe reach out to more atheists in the Republican Party, because we find the religion off-putting. Then we had Laura come on to say, well, wait, I don't think the atheists have this right. So we've got another atheist now, a conservative atheist, Jack from Bennettville, South Carolina. Hi, Jack. Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Todd, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
You too, sir. Thank you.
I just want to make the point that I've been an almost lifelong conservative. I was raised in a Democratic family, become conservative right after I become an adult. And I became an atheist probably 10 years ago. And for us, for the atheist community, it's kind of like when you believe in Santa Claus. Once you don't believe in Santa Claus, it's like when you see something, you can't unsee it. And it's like that for me. And okay. Anyway, the point I wanted to make is, when the conservative right kind of bashes religion, it just, for us atheists, and we're one of the largest growing, I guess, factions in the world, in the United States anyway, and I mean, for a lot of us, it's really off-putting. And that's the point I was wanting to make with the first atheist that called. And I did, and I caught the very tail end of his conversation with you. I wish I'd have called it off.
So what would you have us do, Jack? Because those of us who are of faith and believe in an almighty, we're not going to unsee what we've seen. And, Jack, I respect for you clearly as a man, man to man, conservative to conservative. So exactly what would you have us do?
Well, in my and it's my opinion only, no one is ever going to change my mind. And obviously, I understand that I will never change a believing person's mind. And I don't, and I have no problem with people. You know, people can believe what they want to believe. All I would like to do is just extend the hand across the aisle, shake and say, hey, we have a difference of opinion. Let's move on and make our country great.
Okay, let me say this. Jack, you and I disagree on the nature of the existence of God. I am extending my hand from the insane West Coast to the beautiful South Carolina area. I am virtually shaking your hand, saying, my brother, you are on the team. It's an honor to meet you. Let's go win in 2020, Jack. It's great to meet you. How's that?
That works for me. It honestly does. And I'm sure okay. It works for a lot of atheists out there, too.
I'll tell you this. If we were man-to-man, I'd even lean over and give you a bro hug. I appreciate the call, Jack. Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. Okay, Steve in Hickory, North Carolina. You're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Got about a minute 20, Steve, so be fast and be brilliant.
Well, I'm gonna be short and quick. You know, I support Trump. I do believe that when he made the comment that he believes that everybody is allowed to believe in who they believe in, which means I know atheists and I respect them. They believe what they believe. Trump feels the same way. He didn't say that you had to believe in, you know, God, Allah, or pick, you know, one specific thing. He said what you believe in is your right. And like he does defend the Constitution all the time. I'm actually glad I called. I've been wanting to call forever, but I know I'm not supposed to get off the topic. But no, this is what made me call. Because he does not, he believes in everything. Because yeah, that's how fair of a man he is.
Right. So he said, like, he doesn't have this litmus test for, okay, you have to be an evangelical Christian or an observant Christian, or you have to be Christian necessarily. I mean, his son-in-law is Jewish, etc. I concur with that. And it's interesting, Steve, that we're hearing from atheists saying, reach out to us. So I want to think more about that. And thank you for the call, Steve, because reaching out, yes, atheists, join us, be conservative. We agree on these things. But the last gentleman from South Carolina is saying, you're not going to change someone's mind. Someone's mind's going to be changed. It happens every single day. Those of us who believe in God, we're not going to stop talking about it because we'd like to have you on board. But if you're not, that's okay. You go your way, you go ours. We'll agree on the country and the direction of the country. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Hey, it's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Hey, if you've ever complained about the media, ever in your life, do something right now proactive. Go to rushlimbaugh.com and become a Rush 24/7 member. Rush is built in the background, probably the most successful digital platform of all radio hosts ever. And it drives the left nuts and the media nuts because they can't replicate it. The Rush 24/7 gives you access to all the award-winning radio shows. Join today. You can listen to any of the broadcasts you might have missed. You go back to the archives. You can get ammunition to win arguments, etc., with misguided liberal friends, rushlimbaugh.com. And if you haven't downloaded Rush's app, that's a must. It's available at the Apple Store or the Google Store. If you've ever complained about the media, take a proactive step today. One of the great differences in views in conservatives and liberals or progressives is that progressives increasingly look at you as a product to be controlled. If you live in cities like Austin, you live in cities like Dallas, you live in cities that are getting these federal monies that are all about getting you onto a train or a bus with really blackmail-based ways of moving this, such as cutting down on lanes, going on road diets, we call them. All this is because you are an inconvenience. Your mobility is offensive to people on the left and central planners. They just don't want you to have that ability. So they create these pricing schemes, etc., to force you to be a package to be shipped. The same thing is true with Medicaid for All. You're, at that point, you're no longer a patient. You're a product that is sold by government two lobbyists because you're locked. You can't go anywhere. So you're actually not the patient. You are the product for bid. When you make a decision to have a so-called free college, taxpayer-supported college, the student, the parent, is no longer the customer. They're the product that is purchased by schools through lobbying. Okay, that you're forced to pay for that. You're forced to underwrite it. And this is happening most clearly, as I see it, in transportation, where everybody, whether you're a truck driver, you're a construction worker, you can't, in your job, not use a car. They don't care. They want all of us to be products to be shipped. Hence, this technology in the cars that will be used to tax you from the second you turn your vehicle on in the morning. Jim from McLean, Texas, can tell us a little bit about this. Jim, welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Hey, Todd, the very thing you were talking about, monitoring the vehicles, is exactly what I used to do for Halliburton. We call it the black box. You could tell whether they were wearing seatbelts. We could even change the speed limit that they were allowed to drive. And the guys would sometimes get in trouble, you know, for exceeding the speed limit, hard brake. If there's an accident, we'd go and pull data from the vehicle, which I guess perhaps makes some sense for a company like Halliburton because the guys are driving around $500,000 pump trucks. But for private citizens, no, that's too much information in the wrong hands.
So you could legitimately then control the speed limit of the car. So this technology, this wouldn't be far off from what's going to be in cars coming now, that the government could decide, hey, we're going to need you to slow down. We think traffic's a little bit backed up. So we're going to go ahead and slow down for you. That's technically possible now. Is that even that far away from commercial vehicles?
Well, you know, in the commercial vehicles I work for, you know, they would set a speed limit. Now, you could exceed it, but okay. Then, you know, you'd get dinged for it, and you'd get written up, or you'd get in a problem with your management for exceeding the speed limit. Didn't wear your seatbelt? They'd know it. Okay, yeah. You take a hard turn, we'd know it. You know, it was all right there on the computer. I could see everything that they were doing, you know?
Yeah.
Pinpoint their location at any time.
It's phenomenal that this has gone on in the background, Jim. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. That this has gone on in the background, and the technology is being installed now. It's going to be sold to your insurance company. In fact, that can already be done. A lot of new cars, you don't know that you don't even really own the car. You rent the car. Even if you own it, you're not allowed to make improvements to it, etc. But the tech that exists in there gives them the ability to do this now. And what's so very frightening to me about this is we have our freedom of speech. We have, in fact, our freedom of self-defense. I don't think that the founders ever envisions a need to express the notion that we have a freedom of movement. And freedom of movement is also freedom to pursue life. It's freedom to pursue joy. It's freedom to go visit a family member. It's freedom to go visit someone in the hospital. The point of view that's taken by corporatists, who are companies who aren't real companies, they go lobby saying, give us control. Let us monitor these cars. They will come for your speed limit. They will come for your speedometer. Right? They will do that because you are an inconvenience. You're also a very attractive product. If they can purchase your morning commute, my gosh, they've purchased a great deal of your life energy, and you have to pay them to have access to your own personal mobility. It's going to be a battle of a lifetime. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. I want to thank Rush Limbaugh, the team at EIB back east for letting me fill in. It's Todd Herman. Absolute honor. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I don't tweet as much anymore because I'm angry at him. It's at Todd E. Herman. You know what? In this coming year, there is just a major choice, 2020. And I just want to offer you a thought to people that you can offer to people who are maybe not yet persuaded. That maybe there are people who are just not enthusiastic, or they've been wound down, or they've been ground down. There is a point where we were at as a country where the Democrats just about controlled your heartbeat. They just about controlled your body. They just about controlled your health care. That is not just seeing a doctor. With that beachhead, they have the opportunity then to say, well, everybody else pays for your health care, so we're going to need you to stop eating red meat. We're going to need you to stop smoking. We're going to need you to take up an exercise regime. Don't worry, we have one in mind for you. That was the point we were at. And then at that point, they can say, we're going to need you to eat these exact foods. That's where government medicine leads in a totalitarian style. That's not the threat now. but it will be again if we don't get energized for 2020. Remember, we are winning in many ways. Ask your friends, do you want to go back to a point where politicians just about had the ability to tell you what to eat? Because that's where government medicine leads inexorably. It's Todd Herman, filling in for Rush Limbaugh. Happy New Year.